Hello, everybody. Welcome to an exciting new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and welcome back, everyone. Took a nice little hiatus there, but I am back in action, and I'm thrilled to have today's guest on. First, a couple recommendations before we get into the episode. First of all, if you're not following Sophia Rowe on Instagram yet, I need you to. First of all, she's stunning. Second of all, she shares the most delicious light recipes. I made this like pea mash toast of hers that was delicious. I also made this like heirloom tomato and fruit salad with this like herb vinaigrette. She also has like amazing self-care tips. She also educates everyone on anti-racist work. She's great. She's brilliant. She's wonderful. So follow Sophia Rowe. Also, if you're in the mood for like a fun little rom-com book, I'm reading a book called The Wedding Date, which is written by Jasmine Gilroy. And it's like, it's literally just, it's fun. It's the perfect like poolside summer read. And yeah, I think y'all are going to love it. I mean, like, who doesn't love a rom-com in book form? Because you're like, I'm so smart, I'm reading a book, but also it's like I'm watching a rom-com. And also, depending on how fast of a reader you are, which like I'm not that fast of a reader, the experience lasts longer than a mere hour and a half. Speaking of which, I watched Kissing Booth 2 over the weekend. Why the fuck is that movie 2 hours and 15 minutes long? I was so excited for the second Kissing Booth. I was like, oh my God, Jacob Elordi, give me that Jacob Elordi life. Like, he is so hot. What's going to happen with Elle and Noah? Like, I have to know. Also, quite frankly, I felt gaslit by the entire movie because we have these like very hot, very nice men arguing over Elle, being like, oh my God, she's just one in a million. She's amazing. No, she cheats. She lies. She deceives. It's like this like Rory Gilmore vibe of like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm just like a sweet girl next door. And like, And it's like, no, girl, you're like messing with people's feelings. You're messing with people's lives. And then she just casually gets into Harvard like it's no big deal. I mean, come the fuck on. 2 hours and fucking 15 minutes later, I couldn't even tell you what happened in that garbage fire of a movie. And then we were left with a cliffhanger. 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's like a Judd Apatow movie. It's like, tell the story, land the plane. This could have been done in an hour and 30. An hour 25, really. Okay, let's get into the episode. Today's guest is an old friend of the pod. He is one of the funniest people I know. He is host of the hit pop culture podcast, Bare Minimum with Joe Gunn. He makes some of the funniest pop culture memes in the fucking game. We have Joe Gunn at JoeGunn90 on Instagram. We had an amazing conversation. He is a hardcore Britney fan, so we talked about Britney and her conservatorship. We also talked about his brief stint as a child actor. We talked about his evolved approach to the notion of a revenge fantasy, which was very interesting, very zen, very refreshing. So I had a great time. We had a great time. I know y'all are going to love this conversation. Without further ado, let's get into it. This is my conversation with Joe Gunn.
I'm starting recording. I'm sorry.
Do you have the scoos?
That's when Kristen's like, this was an entire line. What's the episode? I think it's like season one where she's like, this wasn't just one item. This was an entire line.
Oh, hon, I watched 1.5 episodes and I gave up. I'm very impressed that it managed 3 seasons.
I mean, all 3 seasons of bullshit.
Oh, really? I won't dive in then.
Joe Gunn, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here, if you can't tell.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you here. The Iris to my Amanda, one of my dear social media friends, and I think IRL friends.
Yeah, would have fucking been by now if, as Michelle Collins said, a pig hadn't sneezed on a bat.
Yes! Literally, why did that have to happen?
So unfair. I think it's homophobia, actually.
It definitely is. I also feel like I'm just excited to have you here because we were talking about this the other day, but like, I feel like we have a very similar sense of humor, but we're both absolutely like kind-hearted individuals at our core.
Yeah. I can be a bitch.
Me too.
But yeah, I like to think I'm a good person.
Me too. But like specifically, I don't know if I should bring this up again. For all I know, I'll edit it out because it's a polarizing joke, but Lily from Sex and the City. Let's just take a minute. I feel like I talk about this with you every time I have you on.
It sounds like we hate children, doesn't it? You know, it's arguable that Lily is the reason that, you know, everything got fucked up. But then, you know, that is the plot, and that's how we got all those precious moments from that film.
True. I mean, were it not for Lily, she would not have taken Carrie's duct taped razor, put it in her little cupcake clutch, and ruined the fucking wedding. I don't know how she sleeps at night, as you once said.
I hope she doesn't sleep at night.
The Zach Posen gowns. It was going to be this epic celebration. There was a bird on Carrie's head, and Lily ruined it with her cupcake clutch.
That bird.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
Today, I guess I'm okay. I'm good. I'm just, I'm good. It's very hot here in Bristol, so I've turned my fan on just for the sake of this podcast. But, you know, it's a price I'm happy to pay. Just catching up on Kanye's tweets.
Okay. I have like two, because here's the thing. I'm like a pop culture person, but I'm a lazy person as well. So I don't usually know about things. No, because you make memes about things like as they happen. You're fucking quick.
No, but I'm a fake fan for a lot of things. Like I was invited onto a podcast, one of the first podcasts I do, to talk about Mariah Carey. And then as soon as it hit record, I just blanked on everything. And it turns out I'm actually absolutely not a Mariah Carey fan at all. I am, but I know what you mean. Like I've just been catching up because an account and friend of mine that I follow, Sebastian, his account You've Got No Mail, he's been posting all the screenshots on his Instagram because the tweets get deleted, I've just been having a scroll through those. He called Kris Jenner Chris Jung-un. I think it's funny, but yeah, I don't know what's going on. So you don't have any takes?
My takes are that he's mentally ill and that he shouldn't be our president. That's pretty much the extent of it. But it is like, I mean, it's sad and it's hard to watch someone like mentally break down on like a huge scale like that, you know?
It is. It's sad. And he should take his medication. We saw what happened to Claire Danes on Homeland.
I actually didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I loved it. Loved Homeland.
What, did she have bipolar disorder and she wasn't taking
her meds? She had bipolar disorder, yeah. And, Silva on 90210.
Sure.
So when someone who was the evil person who switched out her meds and then it drove her to a bad place. Yeah, so no, it is very sad to watch. But I'm not going to lie, it's entertaining. Again, I like to think I'm a good person at heart, but maybe that does make me a bad person.
No. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's so wild, like the state of the world, just like it feels like absolute chaos right now. And then when you have like anything with a celebrity going on to give it sort of this pop culture edge, you're like, it's like something to follow, like something to cling on to that seems myopic in the grand scheme of all the shit going on right now.
Good word.
You know what I mean? As Stassi's ex-boyfriend Patrick once said, you have to look at our relationship myopically. I'm like, you didn't even fucking use that word right, you idiot. Anyways, also you tweeted, good morning to everyone, or what'd you say?
It's because it's afternoon, because I'm British, It's afternoon here in England, I just wanted to acknowledge that Britney Spears has a court hearing today to do with her conservatorship. She's Skyping in on a conference call and fighting for her freedom, so I wanted to just send a bit of positivity out there to Britney Spears today.
What are your takes on that whole situation? Like, I know you're like a tried and true Britney fan, and I've literally DM'd you being like, I know this must be hard for you because you're like a hardcore Britney fan. And so, you know, wellness check.
That's sweet. And thanks for the wellness check. I appreciate it because it is quite distressing. I guess the only reason I call them locals, you know, choose to take offense to that or not, but the general public have been made aware of this recently because there was a TikTok video that went viral. And I don't know, it's sort of similar to the way how there's suddenly new Real Housewives fans because it's on Netflix. I'm sort of like a gatekeeper, is that the word? I don't know.
Yeah,
sort of like no. Like, we've been aware of this conservatorship for 10 plus years, and now you're suddenly chiming in. And yeah, great, people are talking about it, but it's like, okay, you know, I can't really do anything. Mm-hmm. I've signed a petition. I'm not a lawyer. Do I know the ins and outs of it? No. Do I know what's 100% true and what's not? No. All I know is I want Brittany to be out of this conservatorship and to be granted her freedom, because she's not in a vegetative state. She's mm-hmm. a functioning human being, and she, yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really fully break it down. But as a fan, of course, I want what's best for her. And I don't believe this legal situation she's trapped in has her best interests at heart. It's all about money at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad. And I think, like, I was a hardcore Britney fan when I was little, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, I've like kept up with all of her albums. Like, I don't know everything. You know, I was telling you the other day, like, oh, I love the If You Seek Amy video. And you like taught me where that beginning and end of that video came from with the news clips.
Megyn Kelly. Yeah.
Yes. Megyn Kelly. But obviously, even as someone who, like, obviously I love Britney, but I don't know as much about her as many other like hardcore Britney fans do. It's still just like so distressing to watch, especially because she was such a big part of everyone's childhood. I mean, like, I looked up to her so much. I remember seeing Crossroads in the theater. But yeah, I mean, it's just, so it's hard to watch. And it's, I'm noticing the pattern with all these like child celebrities who kind of have mental illness as a result of what I truly think is like the fame and the way that they're treated and the way they're forced to work, even through mental and sometimes physical trauma, is like parents that care more about the cash flow than about their children's mental health. Now, I don't know anything about Britney's dad. I don't know the guy, but based on what I've heard and what I've read, it's like there were times where she should have like taken a break and been allowed to stop working, you know?
He's not a good person.
Yeah, that from what I've heard, he's a garbage person.
Yeah, so it's great that her mom is behind her and supporting mm-hmm. her to try and get her out of this conservatorship. And yeah, all Britney wants is just to be with her kids more than 30% of the time, mm-hmm. which is she's currently tied to. Again, I can't confirm or deny whether that's 100% fact, but that's what they say on these sort of viral posts that go around mm-hmm. explaining her limitations. She's happiest when she's with her kids and when she's dancing. She mm-hmm. loves dancing, as we can tell from her mm-hmm. her Instagram videos, where she's just expressing herself, and yet you still get mean people in the comments thinking yeah. they're being smart by saying, are you okay? It's like, first of all, that comment's that's old. Like, it's not funny anymore.
No, it's extremely patronizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free Britney. I hope this all works out. Do you know like any of the details about like, I mean, I guess trials like this take a while. It's not like we're going to know like tomorrow.
It's been going on for years and years and years. So it's not going to be tomorrow.
God, it's like Bethany and Jason's divorce. It's just like yeah. a 10-year long thing.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. And it's, so it's not something, I think a lot of the locals are probably going to be like, this is the day, we're going to find out tomorrow. But no, there's always a court date and then another date scheduled. And mm-hmm. So yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know the ins and outs, but yeah, it's funny. You sort of sounded like there's a Britney reaction clip where she's just like, good luck and just keep doing it. So she's, I think she just performed on The X Factor, and Dermot O'Leary is like, what advice would you give to our contestants? And she's just like, good luck and just keep doing it.
I texted you about this like months ago, but I feel like probably starting in like February, March, I've fallen down like many a YouTube wormhole into like old Britney interviews. And it's just so upsetting to see the mixed messages that the adults around her and that like the media were giving her. It's like, you're too young to act this sexy, but we're going to over-sexualize you at a very young age. Like on SNL, it's like her opening monologue is about like her boobs, or like there's a whole like boob bit. And it's like, how are you going to simultaneously like slut shame this like young person for like not giving in, but like for like performing in a way that celebrates her sexuality while also expecting her to be hot and to be sexual in order to sell albums or to make people want to watch her. It's just so backwards and fucked up.
She handled those horrifically misogynistic questions with the utmost grace and dignity. And she did not have to. She could have just fucking walked off and said, and ripped the mic out. I'm not fucking doing this.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She a true professional. So it's sad. And you do, I'm sure you've seen from the old videos, people talk about the light behind her eyes that people say disappeared after, say, 2007, 2008. It's definitely a different person. But we're all different people from who we were 10 years ago.
Yes.
But then, you know, I challenge anyone to go through what Britney has gone through and not had a bit of the light behind your fucking eyes dimmed.
Yes, I agree. Also, switching gears a little bit too, we'll get into your interview, of course. Did you watch the Parent Trap reunion?
I didn't. My friend Crystal sent me the link, and her analysis was quite mumsy. It was like, she looks so well.
Yes, like in regards to Lindsay?
Lindsay, yeah.
Okay, so honestly, I was so happy to watch it. I mean, obviously, I love the Parent Trap because I'm not a monster, but like Lindsay, like her accent's gone. She's able to like speak in a way that just like she just seemed like she was present and there and good and happy. And it was so uplifting to see. And so I truly do think if people get the help that they are entitled to and that they deserve, that, you know, you can get the light behind your eyes back. I have all the faith in the world.
Do we think it's because of the reality show that she got health insurance and she got counseling? And what do you think has changed? Or do you think there's the right balance of medication?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but like her being all the way in Dubai and like not here in LA, like I still just want her to be here. Like I want to, as Peter Weber's mom on The Bachelor said, bring her home to us. Bring her home.
See, I didn't even watch that season, but that's the power of that quote, because it was like, it wasn't in every single week's preview that it was coming up, and it was completely out of context.
It was a truly untethered moment of reality television. But so like, I want her here, like selfishly, and I also want her like in movies again. But yeah, she seemed like she was doing well. And I do think that there has been something that's been balanced as far as either her medications, counseling. I think it's like a cocktail of all those important self-care, wellness, medical things.
Well, I'm inspired to go and check it out. Crystal says she looks so well and her personality soars, which is basically what you just said. So
yes, she shines. Yeah,
I'm excited for this new Lindsay era. I've always been a Lindsay fan, and not even ironically. Like I love her music. Mm-hmm. I just love her vibe. I love her, the nostalgia from she brings from noughties pop culture, the golden era of pop culture.
I was watching The Fabulous Life of Lindsay Lohan on YouTube the other day. On VH1.
Wait, again, this is me where I have so many like blind spots in my fandom. So she had a show.
No, so there was this VH1 show called The Fabulous Life, and it was basically like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but like VH1's early 2000s version. And so this sort of Robin Leach type voice would like narrate what like Hollywood starlets spend their money on and like outline like how fucking rich they are and how they spend. And so Lindsay's episode's on YouTube, and it's just like, but Lindsay doesn't just, you know, go on an average shopping spree like an 18-year-old girl. No, they shut down the store for her. Or like ridiculous things that only celebrities will understand. Or there was one part where he was talking about how she takes her mom, you know, Dina, to this like insane spa. And it's like, this pool is designed to make it feel like you're in the womb. And they like sit in this like bath where you feel like you're in the womb. It's like dark and like warm and like safe. Yeah. Isn't that, it was like a $10,000 spa day that they had.
I wonder what the store was that they shut down. Was it Forever 21?
I don't know. Honestly, I probably made that part up, but there was like a moment where they show her like buying a million pairs of sunglasses at once. And she has all these sunglasses like hanging on her hands. And she's like, oh my God, these are amazing. Oh my God, need to have these. And she just like takes all of them with her.
cut to Alexis Nyers like watching it again. I'm going to take that one and that one. Yeah.
Yes. Gosh, I can't believe it's already been like over a year since you first came on the pod and talked Pretty Wild with me for the Patreon, and then also just talked about pop culture on the main.
Oh, Hannah, we go way back at this point.
We do. We really do. And I feel like we DM regularly enough where I'm just like, oh, it's just like another Kiki with Joe.
It's my chum.
Yeah, my chum. So, you know, I had a dream that I lived in England.
Okay, whereabouts?
Bristol.
Bristol!
In my dream, like, we were, like, gonna hang out because we were, like, basically neighbors. I'm not even joking.
I could see you in Bristol.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
I said it's not really the LA of England. It's the San Francisco of England.
Oh, that's a vibe. That's a cool
listen,
vibe.
Listen, have I ever been to San Francisco? No. Like, I think it's because we've got a bridge. And it's art, like there's art and graffiti everywhere. And I just feel like it's, and there's lots of hills. So come on.
That sounds chic.
Yeah, I don't mind Bristol.
Wait, what made you decide to live in Bristol?
I didn't decide.
the Bristol life chose you.
Yeah. So after university, I moved in with my parents, like a lot of postgrads do. Mm-hmm. And at that point, my parents had moved to Wiltshire, which is like a county outside of, it's 45 minutes away from Bristol. And so I lived there and had like various jobs. And then I moved to the city, the big smoke.
It's like your Lauren Conrad moment of like leaving Orange County and going to LA.
You better believe I had unwritten on repeat in my
yes!
Fiat 500 or whatever I was driving on to move into the flat. Yeah,
that's iconic. Where did you grow up?
So I was born in Chiswick in London. I was born in the same hospital as Misha Barton, probably weeks apart. fun fact. Is it fun? I don't know. But yeah, so I lived there in Chiswick till I was six, and then we moved to the suburbs. So I was there for most of my childhood. Yeah, suburban London, Buckinghamshire.
Oh my gosh, I feel so American. I'm like, what a cute name for a suburb. But I mean, Buckinghamshire is cute.
If you just picture, like, yeah, it was like sort of gated community, sort of Wisteria Lane tease.
Oh yes, okay, love. What was junior high like for you?
Primary school.
I was gonna say, what do you call it?
Junior. So yeah, I actually spent half of it, because I left to go to stage school halfway through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so okay, so I was there for half of junior for primary school, and yeah, I guess I all my friends were girls. It was like getting to the point where like going into like the journey of a gay man, it's kind of like getting in primary school, it's the point where you sort of realize that you're different by other mm-hmm. people telling you that you're different. Like, oh, you'd get, why are you so girly? Why are all your friends girls? So it's sort of like you realize you're different because of the way other people are treating you. Mm-hmm. Was I funny then? I don't know if I was funny then. I think I was more shy. Mm-hmm. And that's how I sort of got into drama anyway, because in infant school, I was advised, my teacher advised my parents to put me in like Saturday drama classes. And then I got an agent and I started getting jobs. And
oh my God.
Yeah, you know this about me, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I know like the extent or like when it started, but it totally does make sense too. If you're shy, acting is such an easy escape and also such an easy way to sort of feel like you fit in, because you're like, if I do the thing, then people will be like, good job, you're great. And that feels good when you're like trying to figure out who you are.
Feels so good.
Yeah. It still feels good.
Validation. Yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding? I just get validation in different ways these days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that was super fun. And it's kind of like you'd go out of school for like a couple weeks at a time to like film something, or you'd be going up and down to London to be in shows and stuff. But then, yeah, my parents, I guess, fully committed me to the stage life and got me in on full-time theatre school for a couple of years. The same theatre school that Kate Winslet went to, our friend Iris.
Oh my gosh. You were basically like Hilary Duff and Raise Your Voice, just like all day, every day performance.
Sure, pop culture blind spot. I'll have to watch that film.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Is that where she is miming and then there's someone in the wings like being her voice? I want to say.
I think that might be a Lizzie McGuire movie, but there's a part where she's like, there's an iconic part where she's like, la 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 la.
Yeah.
And you can hear it go from like someone who's an amazing singer to like Hilary Duff's mediocre, like, hey, yeah.
And they're like, whoa. The way she really thought she did something. It's so good.
I mean, that's Hilary Duff's entire
career. Back to me.
Yeah.
Stream Back to Me by Lindsay Lohan. The Dave Audi remix. But yeah, super fun there for a couple of years until for whatever reason I just went to, and then by that time I was secondary school age, which is high school. And yeah, the rest is history. I was in a normal secondary school that didn't do drama at all. And then I went to sixth form, which is like the last 2 years of high school. Just mm-hmm. got to translate it all for this American woman that's interviewing me right now.
Sorry.
I went to a school that did drama and performing arts so I could be me.
Yes. I love that. Stream Back to Me by Lindsay Lohan. So when did you like stop acting, or are you still like acting?
Not acting. I guess my last job was like 26, when I was like 16,
mm-hmm.
16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it's just, the phone sort of stops ringing after a while. And I feel like, as I got older and more self-conscious, I wasn't as free to express myself. I feel like I sort of lost the, there was a block that started to build, so that I couldn't really act as well as I could as a kid, if that makes sense. Like as a kid, I had fewer inhibitions. So I was more able to like cry on cue and just do this, do that.
Yes.
And, have an epileptic fit, go. I got the part.
Oh my gosh.
Like an educational video about having epilepsy. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I stopped being as good at it as I was when I was younger. And also I wanted a paycheck every month, mm-hmm. as opposed to being freelance. I was kind of scared by that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I don't do any acting. Like in uni, I was in like the drama society and performing arts, music theatre society. Mm-hmm. And actually after university, when I moved in to this village in Wiltshire, I was in like the local Amdram groups doing stuff and went to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, fun.
With the Bradfordians acting Amdram Society. Sorry, I'm such a rambler. This is not going to be
easy. No, I love it.
For your editing. So yeah, no, long story short, I could have answered that question really quickly by saying, no, I don't act anymore.
But that's such a real thing where like, it is interesting how the older you get, you create blocks to sort of keep yourself feeling safe. And especially with acting where you have to be able to be just like raw and vulnerable, like you said, like on cue, it's really hard when you're like, I mean, I'm trying to pursue acting as an adult and I truly feel like the camera turns on and I just like stiffen up and I'm like, ooh, and I'm like, I got to get over that because that's probably why not only is the phone not ringing now, it never started ringing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a tricky one.
It's a tricky one. Yeah.
But it's like, it's so easy to say, well, just get acting classes, but guess what? They cost money.
Yeah. And also it's like, I always feel like even in acting class, I feel like connected and good. And then I'm like, all right. And then I go home and I'm like, eh. Like I actually have to do a self-tape. And then like when I like have to, and then I'm like, eh, I don't know.
kind of like Alexis Bellino when she was training to be a news reporter.
1,000,000%. Great reference. But back to you. But
then you've got to be a Gretchen. You've got to be a Gretchen. Because when she did her broadcaster training, she was a natural. She sold those Gretchen Christine Butte bags, handbags.
I'm
fresh off season 6 because I've just been doing my homework for Orange County.
But. Oh my God. I like forgot. I've never fully gotten into Orange County. I've like dabbled in Orange County, but I completely forgot about Gretchen and her handbags.
See, that was me until this pandemic, because I just decided to just really do my homework. It's the OG franchise. It's where it all began. I want to make sure that I've watched every single episode, and I lived it. I have. I've seen every single episode apart from the, what was the one that we did a recap for? No, we didn't. That was, what are they called? There's lost footage or whatever.
Oh, like the lost footage or like secrets revealed. Yeah.
I'm just like, no, let's move on to the reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm like, don't give me this filler bullshit. Do you have a favorite outfit that you wore to a school dance?
No.
Okay. Love. I threw in some new questions because I want to experiment with some new questions. And so I wrote some questions special for you.
Wait, no. So most of my fashion journey, most of my clothes were bought by my mom from Gap Kids. And it would be like every 9 months we'd just go to Gap Kids and just buy so much stuff. And I didn't really take control of my own destiny sartorially until probably my early 20s.
Fair. I can picture you as like an adorable child in like a little Gap Kids like green sweater and like some corduroy pants.
Oh, there was definitely some cords.
Yeah, you need your cords when you're a child and an adult. When was the last time you wore a pair of corduroy pants?
I can't remember. I'm picturing a brown pair from H&M. I must have been 20. Mm-hmm. I guess I was sort of like having a weird fashion moment where I was like, I don't want to just wear jeans anymore. I don't know. Let's rediscover cords. And
yeah. This is a question special for you because the original Willy Wonka takes place in England. And I wanted to know, which Willy Wonka kid do you identify with the most and why?
Can I even remember it? Probably Charlie.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it's probably because I played him in a sort of version of it in theater school. I don't know. Yeah, Charlie, little skinny white boy.
Love. Do you ever question like his choice to be like, you know, I'm gonna take my grandpa, like not my mom who's been stirring laundry for half of this movie, singing Cheer Up Charlie, not my dad, my grandpa.
I don't know. I mean, did he have more reasoning behind it? Like, was the granddad always like a huge chocolate stan? Like,
I don't know. I guess that's valid.
I don't know. Like, I can't barely remember the film. Like, I like Oompa Loompas. I saw a good tweet about it the other day. It's sort of like, Charlie, you've inherited a you've inherited a chocolate factory. Here's the thing. We have slavery and
they enslaved the Oompa Loompas and forced them to work. Ugh, fucked up.
I guess but I'm probably a horrible old Veruca Salt at heart.
That's how I feel too. Or like a Violet Beauregard who's like, hi sweetie, and just like wants to eat her next meal.
You're turning violet,
you're turning violet. Which cartoon character did you have a cartoon crush growing up?
Eric, Prince Eric.
He's so hot.
Yeah, but you did. I didn't know it until I knew I was gay. Like, so it was just kind of like an infatuation.
Yes.
Like, that's interesting. I'm feeling feelings.
I mean, his pants.
Right.
His little
the
like
calves, the just yes. The bone structure, the eyes.
He's gorgeous. And I also love how he's like, he just wants to like chill with his dog. Like he's no fuss, no drama.
He loves dogs. Yeah.
He loves dogs.
He ticks all the boxes. Who did you fancy?
Oh my gosh. I fancied so many cartoons, but a recent rediscovery of, and some of them like some more animals, like Robin Hood can get it.
No shame.
Thomas O'Malley from the Aristocats can get it. But last night I rewatched Hunchback of Notre Dame for the first time in like 15 years. Phoebus can fucking get it.
I'm Googling.
He's so hot. Kevin Kline does his voice, and Kevin Kline's one of my crushes, one of my older man crushes.
You know, when you just sort of guess the spelling and hope that Google like has got
you. Yeah, for sure. And also, I just want to say, like, while we're here, Hunchback of Notre Dame is a fucking devastating movie. I did not stop crying. It is not for kids. It's very dark and sad and depressing, but it's also one of the most beautiful films ever, and that's how I feel.
Okay, Phoebus, he's definitely, like, I can see how people find him attractive, but he definitely, mm-hmm. It's not my type.
I'm not really into blonde guys usually, but, like, throughout the movie, he, like does the right thing, and he, like, has Esmeralda and Quasimodo's back. Like, he's like a douchebag with a heart of gold, and that's, you know, kind of always been my type.
Okay, Teddy. Teddy Mellencamp. Okay.
Okay. Prince Eric, that's a good one. Who would your celebrity bestie be and why?
I don't know. Who would my celebrity bestie be and why? I don't know. I will not judge you if you like scrap this and get a new interview guest.
Yeah, no. Stop, no. I know, it's a tough call.
It's a tough question.
It is a tough question, but it's also...
Could you give me a starting point by telling me like yours and where your head went to with this question?
Sure. I mean, I feel like my answer changes all the time. It would definitely be, I would love to be like best friends with Jonathan Van Ness. I think he seems like a kind soul and like a great time. I also would love to be best friends with like Chelsea Handler and like go to one of her like bougie like weed dinners in her backyard with like, you know, like Fortune Feimster and all the other cool celebs that she hangs out with who are all really funny. Mary McCormick. I also would love to be best friends with Lady Gaga, obviously.
Stephanie, yeah.
Yes, Stephanie Geminata.
Yeah, she'd be a great bestie.
Yeah, because she would just be like, oh my gosh, do you want to borrow this top? And she would just like take it off and throw it at you and then be like, let's go. And then you'd like get in her convertible and like go do
she
something fun.
She does that
fun.
All the time, just in the street with fans.
Yes, loves take her clothes off. She's like, you like my jacket?
$5,000 leather jacket.
I literally was like, well, fuck me. Like next time I see her around, like I note to self, go to Malibu and just like try to find her and be like, I love your shoes.
I love your car.
Yeah. I love your car.
Who would I want to be besties with? I'm just looking at the DVD of Bridesmaids. By the way, DVD is totally redundant. I don't have anything that could possibly resemble a DVD player in my house.
Oh my gosh.
Say Kristen Wiig, let's say.
I love that one. I never fully forgave her for the Imagine video, but like by
and
large.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go that.
I know, but honestly, I feel like it was an out of character moment. I think Kristen's better than that.
I felt she wasn't thinking right.
No, I think she thought like, oh, the concept of this is sweet instead of just like, can we not?
I want a better one.
Okay. Do you want me to narrow it down to like what Bravo celebrity would you be best friends with?
Yeah, okay. Like, who do I watch and, like, really want to hang out with?
Yeah, want to hang out with, which is tough on Bravo because there are a lot of people I absolutely do not want to hang out with.
Yeah. Portia.
Oh, that's a good bestie.
A laugh a minute.
Yes.
Funniest person on Bravo.
Yes.
And incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Big heart. Knows what's going on. Love it. If you could quarantine with one reality TV star, who would it be?
Karen Hugo would be hilarious to quarantine with.
Yes. Not Dorinda. Like, I literally would never want to quarantine with Dorinda at Bluestone.
No. I think Danny Pellegrino did a sort of like, which quarantine house would you stay at? Or was it even
Oh,
Bravo
yes.
TV?
Yeah. Yes, I think it was. And,
yeah, I definitely chose one. I'm pretty sure it had Karen Hugo in it.
God, that feels like it was 15 years ago.
Right. I even said Pussycat Dolls React was this year. How crazy is that?
Wow. Wow.
Let's go with Karen Huger.
Love. What is your favorite comfort meal?
Pasta.
Ooh, what kind of pasta?
like a penne. I don't know.
But like, is there like a sauce?
No, I know. Yeah, like tomatoes and garlic and I don't know. Basically, I'm like a fake foodie because I do insert name of delivery service that delivers meals. I do that, and I just follow the recipe. I don't even know what I'm doing. But yeah, I just love pasta. I just love carbs in general. Like garlic bread and cheese. I'm a slut for cheese. And yeah, so definitely tomatoes would be involved, lots of garlic, lots of herbs. And
basil, a sensible basil leaf on top, a sprig.
Oregano.
I love oregano in a pasta sauce.
I'm just taking the piss because we say oregano.
Oregano.
Oregano. And instead of cilantro, we say coriander.
Oh, really? Is that the same thing?
Coriander, yeah. And instead of, this is such a boring and like shit stand-up comedy, like, huh, the difference between British and American. But like, instead of eggplant, we say aubergine.
Wow. The more you know. Knowing that you love Italian food, when you do finally get to visit LA, whenever the fuck that is at this rate.
Why are you taking me? Not squirrel.
Oh my God, no, I didn't even know about all the squirrel drama, but like I heard about that on Throwing Shade, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And I was like, I have research to do. I never went there, but people loved it out here.
I heard about it on Laura's episode of Michelle Collins' podcast, Midnight Snack, which I thoroughly recommend to anyone listening. A laugh a minute. But yeah, so I love restaurant drama.
Oh my gosh, yes.
As you can tell, because of my years of commitment to Vanderpump Rules.
Oh my gosh, I know. As someone who's worked in a restaurant for a lot of my adult life, like pretty much all of it, I love restaurant drama too. There's a really great Italian spot here. It's called Pace. It's in the canyon. I'll take you.
I love the names of LA restaurants.
Like. I know. It's one of the many places I've seen Jason Mantzoukas. I've seen him like 17 times since moving here, and it's very weird.
Work. No, but pasta, literally, you could probably just put pasta and just, as long as there's a mountain of Parmigiano on it, then I'm happy.
You're set.
Talking of restaurants, what's the sitch?
What?
With you, yeah.
My job. I have taken this opportunity to try and break free from serving because it just mentally like was not good for me after a while. Not the restaurant I was working at before this was like the best restaurant job ever. Like it was like, if I'm going to wait tables, that is where I want to do it. But they didn't have as many positions coming back because obviously like the restaurant's at like half capacity. And like, so I kind of was just like, I'm going to see what else is out there, but it is proving difficult. Like I've applied to like so many customer service jobs. I've applied to like even working in like a little wine and cheese shop in Venice because I thought like those are my passions, wine and cheese. But no one's even getting back to me. So
and your salon job just isn't there anymore.
No.
No.
Wait, like the hair salon job I used to have?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I quit that in like January.
Oh, okay.
It was only like a short 3 months and I like busted my ass during the entire holiday season. And then I continued to butt heads with my manager and I'll just leave it at that. And then I was like, you know what? I think this is a test from the universe and I know my worth and what my time and my energy is worth. And this is not it. So I left.
Say no more. Wow. Yeah. Proud of you.
Thank you. Boundaries. Let's see. What do you have a revenge fantasy?
No, I don't harbor any of those feelings because it's just completely unhelpful to my life's journey. Like I never say the word hate even. It's a really weird thing. Like I know a lot of people are like, oh, I hate Kyle Richards. But it's like, even if you're not saying it and you actually mean the word hate, I feel like on a subconscious level, it sort of like does something. Like words have power. And I don't know, it's a completely useless emotion, and I don't know, so I don't really have revenge, although I can be petty. Like yesterday I tagged two friends in something and they both just ignored it, which obviously inspired my Eden meme that I posted last night.
Loved it.
But yeah, so instead of like revenge, I just channel it into passive aggressive memes.
I was about to be like, you're so evolved. And now I'm like, I rescind.
Go on, then, what's yours?
Channel your frustration into your art. That's what I always say, you know? Like, yeah. if you're annoyed with those friends, throw Eden Sassoon into the mix and get some likes. Get some validation from internet strangers, you know?
And you know what? I did.
And guess what? I fucking did. And look at me now. Mine is always just, it's definitely evolved. And I mean, I love a revenge fantasy. I like am fueled by them. I think right now mine is just, and it's less of a revenge fantasy, more just like me thinking about things I want to have happen. But I think about like doing my first live podcast show and like what songs I would have playing, what I would wear, and, like everyone would just be like having the best time. And like, so I really just try to think about like things that I really want to have happen. And like, if, you know, people who have wronged me are like shocked by my success in the process, that's cool too. But like, that's not as much of a driving force as it once was. But, you know, I literally feel like I change as a human from one day to another. Like tomorrow I'll be like, I need a revenge fantasy now.
Hiring whoever Joe and Teresa's hitman was for that.
Yeah. Yes. But I feel like it's always like in the past, it's been like someone who wronged me turns on their TV and they're just like not feeling great personally. And then they see me with like my perfectly made up, like tanned, like oiled up legs, like Kelly Cloran, Ben Simone at a reunion with cute shoes on, like on a talk show, just like crushing it, being super likable and cute and funny.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. It would be a great sort of like byproduct of your success, but then don't make that your, like, not to tell you what to do, but I don't think it's healthy to make that your driving force. Like, you're doing this for you. It's just
like kind of, for sure,
a kind of like, wonder if they watched that. Maybe like a side thought. But I don't know. I'm a big believer in energy. I don't own a single crystal or anything. I'm just like a believer in energy.
I believe in energy too, but I recently learned with manifestation that like it's your thoughts aren't actually what you manifest.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't. I think I dabbled in The Secret, but then ultimately decided no.
Because it's really more like, it's more in the online workshop I'm doing, the manifestation online workshop I picked up in Core. It's more like you get to the root of like your like looping thought patterns that you've sort of integrated into yourself from like childhood that are like not loving thoughts, not like self-loving thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 But I love
and,
that.
Yeah. I still deal with those and we all do to some extent. And it's a work in progress. Like I have what I like to call minor Tourette's where I just, it's hopefully when I'm like on my own in the house, but like I will suddenly remember something I did 12 years ago and I'll be like, fuck you.
Oh, I love that. Honestly, I do the same thing, but just like mentally.
Or like I'm in the shower and I'm like, fuck you. It's like a knee jerk thing. Or like, I'll even like say cut fitness. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I want to get the most cutting like word. I think it's part of it is just like to shock the memory out of my head.
Yes.
And then part of it is you're an idiot. Like I can't believe I did that.
Like full like Annette Bening, like American Beauty, just like, stop it. Like talking to yourself in the car.
Sure. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I have, but it was over 10 years ago.
Fair.
I remember a plastic bag in the wind.
Uh-huh. That's like the most iconic part.
Yeah.
It's like the beauty of the plastic bag. It's like, okay.
Do you ever feel
like a plastic bag? I do feel like a plastic bag sometimes. Like when I couldn't sleep at 3:30 in the morning and I was just thinking about all the people who probably hate me.
First of all, they're not thinking about you. Like in a good way. Like they're not.
Yeah.
So that's all you.
That's it. That's that on that. Do you have a hype up song?
School in Life by Beyonce is always a good one.
Oh my gosh, my friend Taylor said that like a couple weeks ago. It's a great song and it's an underrated Beyonce bop.
Yeah, and there's something about revenge in there as well. It's like, best revenge. Oh, no, that's another Beyonce song. Always be grateful. Best revenge is your paper.
I literally sometimes just play that last line like over and over and over and over again.
And also I like RuPaul's line, unless they pay in your bills, pay them bitches no mind.
Oh, I love that.
It's like, if they feed you, if they don't feed you, fuck you. Or, and there's another F, pay no attention to them or something.
What song is that in?
I don't know that one. That was like an Instagram caption that I read. But the RuPaul one is from Sissy That Walk, which love. is a good pump hype up song as mm-hmm. well. It's got a do, 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 do. It's a good for like getting ready to go out.
Yes, totally.
Or I like, do you know Kat De Luna?
No.
Kat De Luna, I feel like she was sort of like noughties pop. But she's got a song that I know from the soundtrack of Confessions of a Shopaholic.
I love that movie.
Yeah. And there's a song where she's like walking with her shopping bags. And it's like, so just do what you want. Like,
I remember that song. I yeah, love that called, song.
Calling You by Kat De Luna. And then in a similar vein, and again, this is another, it's from that Katherine Heigl film where she's a morning TV presenter. It's in the trailer. You know, when she's, again, running down the street and all these pigeons just fly. And it's like,
of course.
Take what you want, feel my pride, feel me up, I'm coming down the size.
Yes. That's Natasha Bedingfield, yeah.
Yeah, and if you, it's something me, fix me.
I thought it was like,
Strip me. Strip it all away.
Are you playing it right now?
I wasn't there, but it was just another song that was there.
I was like, you can. I love a rom-com trailer. Like, I get full body chills from like the inspirational, like, fight song type track where it's like the heroines like running down the street of New York, like in cute heels, like, whoa, like, I'm just trying to keep it all together. Yeah.
Oh, misogynistic.
I always feel like, yes, and I always feel very much like Isla Fisher in Confessions of a Shopaholic when she's like explaining why she loves shopping and she's like, and then you take out the tissue paper and it's all for you. The green scarf.
Underwear is a basic human right.
Oh my God, and Catherine Ritter plays her roommate. I forgot about that.
Is that the bee from mm-hmm. from room 93 or whatever? Yeah.
Don't trust the bee in apartment 23.
Yeah. I'm like making up things. What did I say earlier? Problematic James.
Forgiving James instead of uncommon yes. James. Oh my gosh, we're getting to the end here. I'm sad. Oh. What's something considered aspirational that you don't have yet but you want?
So I've always said, I want to get to the level of wealthy, of like monetarily wealthy, of rich. Joe, why didn't you just say rich? Where I can have fresh flowers every week delivered and a diptyque or a Cire Trudon burning at all times in my home. And I think that's just simple things, but it's a sign of wealth. Do you know what I mean? Like, you 100%. Have to be fucking rich to be able to buy flowers on the regular and always have a nice candle burning, preferably in every room.
In every fucking room. I love that.
Yeah, that's my level of aspiration. And obviously, you know, to own my home. Car, not so much. As long as I'm living in a city where I can, like, walk everywhere or get on public transport get on in an Uber, then I'm not really a car person anyway, that's it for me. What's yours?
I agree though. I really want to have a candle closet stocked with beautiful candles, and I agree, I just want to have like a never-ending candle budget,
and for it to be like a no-brainer essential. Like, yes, don't worry about it, it's just like taxes coming out of my account. It's like,
yes,
we're good, we can do the fresh cut flowers, we can order a load of diptyques, you know.
Yes,
we're good.
Yeah, just like throw 10 in the cart, hit order, get those delivered. Yeah. And I also want to have a really beautiful, not like wine collection, but I just want to drink good wine all the time. I don't want to buy cheap bottles. I want like good ones.
So this pandemic has really sort of got me thinking about my alcohol consumption, because mm-hmm. I feel like at the beginning I was buying it because I was just scared in my supermarket and didn't know what was going on. And I was just in the Handmaid's Tale. And I was just like, quick, grab three bottles mm-hmm. and take it home. But now I'm like, hang on. like, first of all, I've just taken a pay cut at work and I need to be more sensible with my money. I'm sensible with my money anyway. Mm-hmm. But so I first was limiting it to weekends, and then suddenly I would be going weekends without drinking wine. And but to have a nice bottle of Whispering Angel or whatever it is, just always chilled in the fridge. Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, add that to my that could be my trifecta: flowers, candles, and Whispering Angel. Yes. Or something better. I've actually heard that Whispering Angel is actually trash. But you know, something along that sort of bougie, mm-hmm. along that line.
Yes. Like I want like a nice, like spiced, like full bodied red, just like waiting for me at all times.
Yeah.
Like a Sancerre.
I think red in the winter for me, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do need a crisp, dry white or rosé.
I like Chardonnay because I'm like an 85-year-old woman.
Do you listen to Heather McDonald's podcast? I want a Chinese chicken salad and a buttery Chardonnay.
No, but that actually sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Heather on everything, but I'll give her that one.
She's controversial.
I disagree with her on a lot of things, but I agree with that. Okay, final question. Actually, wow, wait, that's all my questions. Shit. Do you have any final thoughts for the listeners? Anything you want to share? Anything you want to plug?
I have a podcast that's going stale because I've neglected it, which you're more than welcome to listen to. I have 14 episodes up. I may be doing a reboot situation because I have had some sweet, sweet people get in contact to say they missed the podcast.
I love your podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Hannah has an episode dedicated to her in which we mainly talk about the others and not much else.
I was going to bring it up during this and I was like, Hannah, you've run that joke into the ground.
Oh, I can never talk about the others too much. So yeah, check that out. It's called Bare Minimum. You just search Bare Minimum. I'm one of six podcasts with that name.
The branding is so good though. Like, I love your logo.
You.
You're welcome.
And otherwise, I'm on Instagram at jogon90. Please.
Seriously, y'all, like unprecedented pop culture memes. Like, I audibly laugh at so few memes. Like, I'll normally be like, oh, that's funny, or like give it a chuckle. I have like laughed aloud in an Uber back when I went places to your memes.
Thank you. And I think that's where they're best consumed, is in the back of an Uber.
I feel like, I mean, looking at memes to me is such a personal, like a personal ritual. Like, I love just the act of like being alone and just scrolling through my favorite meme accounts and just like sharing a laugh with myself. I think it's self-care, really.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Gotta laugh.
I'll never recover from your Gwyneth Paltrow one of her, you being like me doing the absolute bare minimum at my job. And then it's Gwyneth Paltrow being like, well, that's all for me. I'm going to bed.
And there we go, guys. It's time for me to get in bed. This has been fun.
Thank you so much for being here, Joe. I love you so much. And you're the best. Thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome. Thanks for inviting me back on to the my first episode of the new branded pod, but my second episode of the pod altogether. Thank you so much.
Friend. And one of many episodes in my heart.
Yeah, no, it's such a pleasure and such a relief just to be a guest and just to let you take the wheel and just be a passenger. Stream Passenger by Britney Spears.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. No, thank you so much for being here, y'all. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.